Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Welcome. Today we're going to look at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. This is the gospel lesson for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.' He answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he said, 'but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead.'" What we have in our text is a classic case of the haves and the have-nots. The first refers to the rich man, the second refers to Lazarus, the poor man who was laid at the rich man's gate. But what is not altogether obvious is that Jesus is not just telling us a story about having or not having possessions. He wants us to relate to the characters in the story so that our faith will act upon his instruction. Or could it really be that Jesus' sole purpose was to talk about whether it is good or not to be rich or poor? I don't think so. So let's start with the facts. We're given a small description of the rich man. He was clothed in fine linen, feasted sumptuously and extravagantly every day. But though it is a small description, Jesus clearly gives the impression that there is already an air of self-centeredness about this man. Then we come to the poor man who, though he is poor, has friends who have carried him to the gate in front of the yard of the rich man, showing that he is not a self-centered poor man, which is certainly also possible. There he hoped for, or had faith, that he would be fed with whatever fell from the rich man's table. He thought to himself, perhaps, surely a fellow Jew would not be so cruel as to let another Jew suffer on his doorstep. And Jesus adds something else to the story so that we sympathize with the poor man even more. He was covered with sores, and dogs gave him slight relief by licking his wounds, though that probably wasn't very good for him. Now, we know what happened, and it's cruel. So more importantly, we know what should have happened. And like me, many of you probably couldn't help but think of the time when this scenario is put to Jesus, as is recounted in Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28, when a woman asks Jesus to heal her daughter and uses the same image. Even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And I mention this because there's a huge emphasis on the faith of this woman, and we can put two and two together. What makes the narrative even greater is that she is a Gentile woman, but she also knows where to go to receive what we should all truly want to have, a right relationship with God. In this light, we are all have-nots. But that's probably not what we're thinking when we look across town, across the street, or at our neighbors. We think about how they have and we have not. Somehow we manage to see the rich man in our text as the other guy, not really ourselves. Of course, that's not really the point of our text either. Jesus is not talking about being rich or being poor financially. There's much more to this story of Jesus. The clues to this point are all around the surrounding context. Just before, Jesus was speaking directly to people who described themselves as people who could justify their actions in the sight of all people and presumably God, those old, familiar Pharisees. Ironically, they did see themselves as the rich man, but they had every reason to treat anyone else how they wished because they were considered special by God. They were chosen, and if it wasn't so, God would show it by making them poor. Because they were rich, they must be doing things right, and so can therefore do whatever they want. This was the Pharisaical way of doing things. They thought they had it all figured out. The hope, then, is that with this story, Jesus can produce some sort of feeling of guilt within them. But does it? For people like you and me, who are accustomed to hearing that we are sinners and need forgiveness, it makes sense. But this was a foreign concept to them, because their goal was to achieve perfection, as is ours, but paradoxically, they had convinced themselves that they were achieving perfection because they were following the rules that they had set for themselves. They were above reproach, considered righteous even by all those around them, who could see what they were like. That was the difficult thing. But Jesus reveals to them what is in their hearts by this story. So stuck up in their pride and how well they lived, how often would the Pharisee really help those in need, those who needed to know the love of God, His grace and mercy for them as the poor? For unfortunately, the other side of the coin was that the Pharisee could pronounce judgment on someone who was poor, saying that they must have angered God in some way, that they are not as successful as they want to be. Can you imagine that? It's horrible. They have so much pride and bent self-righteousness, for there is no other kind of self-righteousness, that they cannot even see their own true poverty. For they are poor in spirit, and not in a good way, as Jesus describes in the Beatitudes of those who are blessed who are poor in spirit. This is the kind of poverty that a man inflicts upon himself because of his own blindness, fooling himself that he can see. Jesus describes the typical attitude of a Pharisee as one who stands in the temple with his hands raised up high and chanting such a mundane prayer as, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like sinners, and especially not like this wretch next to me." Luke 18. What a sick prayer. Rather, we are all to pray, "Lord, thank you for humbling me and giving me the wisdom that I am no better than the person worshipping right next to me in the pew, that I am a sinner as much as the next person." And we pray this with so many brothers and sisters who understand this and are worshipping with us. We can confess together that we need Christ's mercy and therefore shall receive it for the sake of Jesus, and in mutual encouragement and strength as we praise the name of our Savior together. Your and my prayer is the same one as the wretch that was standing next to the Pharisee in the temple. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said that it was this man who went down to his house justified. In the same way, in the name of Jesus, with such context for evidence, your pastor says to you, "I forgive you all your sins." You're listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we will continue with how we know we have everything that we need because what we have is from God. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Gordon Naumann, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
The value of Sunday school by those who attend Sunday school. Here's Gabriella, aged 11.
I absolutely love Sunday school. It's both educational and fun. And you get to learn all that our Savior Jesus did and does for us. In my congregation, the younger children listen to stories from the Bible and make arts and crafts based on the lessons. The older children read from the Bible and write down the key events. Then they talk about them with the teacher's guidance.
But don't take Gabriella's word for it. Bring your children to Sunday school and let them find out for themselves. Our Sunday schools are all about Jesus and to all God's children. find out where your nearest Lutheran congregation is on lutheran.co.uk.
The Cantatas of J.S. Bach form one of the most impressive musical achievements in the history of Western music. Over a period of several years, Bach wrote a new cantata every week to adorn the worship of the St. Thomas Church in Leipzig. A breathtaking task, producing some of the world's greatest church music.
Pastor Tapanissima Yoki combines profound Lutheran theology with exquisite music as he introduces a cantata written by Bach for each Sunday of the church year.
Sunday Cantata. Tune in to enjoy great Christian teaching through delightful music.
Go to lutheranradio.co.uk for times and podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about the rich man and Lazarus. We were discarding the all too common misunderstanding that the story is about what someone has and how they weren't so loving to their neighbor, and that because of that they're going to hell, and that's why they're in hell. Rather, the rich man is in hell because despite of the illusion that he had everything, he lacked one thing, faith in the law and the prophets. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, send in an email to us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. This is what constitutes real having or not having. God has given us the law and the prophets and the good news of the kingdom. We have His word. The law and the prophets, and especially the good news of the kingdom, which is His whole word, makes all the difference between having and not having. The angel said to the shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, for unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Luke 2. As equally, Jesus told the people, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God." Luke 4. St. Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 15, "For you also, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." So again, going back to our text, we look at how Lazarus died at the gate of the rich man and ended up going to the side of Abraham. How does this happen? Is it because he was poor and there's an automatic gift there because he wasn't rich and therefore presumably did not treat others badly by not sharing his wealth and gets an automatic pass for not being able to be that cruel himself? No. It is because the poor man had faith that he went to Abraham's side. How do we know this? That's God's way. What did Abraham have that was counted to him as righteousness? Faith. Lazarus was a man who, poor or rich, believed in the Redeemer God, the God of his fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And get this, the rich man, now in hell, not because he was rich but because he had no faith, is somehow able to speak to Lazarus. This is where we have to say this is one of those what-if situations. And says to Abraham, "Send Lazarus to relieve this anguish given to me by the flame." But Abraham said, "Nope, can't go back and forth. Big chasm between us and you." A great text, by the way, to show that there is no second chance for anyone after they're dead. But why does Jesus continue the story with this? What is his real point? He identifies for us exactly where it is that we have all we need for this life and the next. The text continues, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." In other words, they claim to have everything as you did, so they should at least have the word of God. That is and has always been enough. But if they don't believe in God, in the promise of the Messiah given to Abraham, like you, it will be counted to them as unrighteousness. With a lack of saving faith of any kind, they shall not be justified before God. That is the heart of the story. Jesus is talking about having God's word, and he's not just talking about having a copy of the Bible on your bookshelf. You need to hear that word. You need to learn about the Old Testament fathers and prophets to know intimately how they were all longing for a Messiah to eventually free mankind from this body of death. You need to hear again and again the good news of the New Testament, the story of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel accounts, how Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection was and is for you. You have the good news, but are you receiving it? This is now a reminder for you of your salvation in Christ Jesus. You have God's word in the cross, and you have God's word in the bread and the wine, which is also offered to you. This is for the forgiveness of your sin, for life and for salvation. You have God's word. You heard it in worship, and some of us even studied it in Bible class this week. You have the word. You are therefore the people that have it all. You are the people who heard the shepherd's words as they returned from seeing the baby Jesus. Those people wondered at the words, Luke 2. You too can be amazed, astonished when you hear the good news of salvation. Mary quietly treasured the words. You too can treasure up in your memory the good news of the kingdom of God. Mary pondered the words in her heart. You too can draw conclusions about the good news. You can get God's word together with your life. Your heart is the good soil in the parable of the sower. When the word of God is sown in your heart, you are firmly planted with those believers who hold it fast and bear fruit with patience. Luke 8. And finally, you are one of those of whom Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Luke 11. For here you are, and the word of God has been kept. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.